For a synodal church, communion, participation, and mission. And this may sound like a lot of church jargon to you, but it is not. Pope Francis has convoked a synod. And the theme of the synod is for a synodal church, communion, participation, and mission. The synod is a 2-year process. If you really ask me, this might as well be Vatican III, but it's not. It's a 2-year process, and this process was solemnly inaugurated by Pope Francis last weekend, the 9th and the 10th of October, in Rome. And this weekend, each local church is invited to be integral to the preparation for the synod. Now, the final stage of the synod will be in Rome again in October 2023, which will be followed by an implementation phase in every local church. Now, the synod is very significant because of where the church is at this point in history. It is for this reason that today's scripture readings diverge from the scripture readings for the 29th Sunday in Ordinary Time. The first reading from Deuteronomy tells us about a God who is close to us and whose will and commandments are placed in our hearts. In the second reading, God's people are invited to be of the same mind, with the same love, united in heart, thinking one thing. What a challenge for the church today. And in the gospel reading, we are promised the advocate who will teach us everything. Folks, everything else that I'm going to say from now on in my homily are not my words. I've taken them from the preparatory document for the synod, which Rome put out just last week after Pope Francis had inaugurated the synod. And just like Father Satish, Pope Francis also speaks in 3 points. So he uses 3 verbs to help us move and prepare towards the synod, and the words he uses are encounter, listen, and discern. But before I go there, what are the objectives of the synod? What's the purpose of gathering the synod? There are about 10 points that are the objectives of the synod. For example, recalling how the Spirit has guided the church's journey through history, and today calls us to be together witnesses of God's love. How can the church do that? That's one of the objectives of the synod. Secondly, living a participative and inclusive ecclesial process or church process that offers everyone, especially those who for various reasons find themselves on the margins, the opportunity to express themselves and to be heard in order to contribute to the edification of God's people. So in the synod, we're trying to listen to everybody, not just the bishops, not just the priests, but people, especially on the periphery. Recognizing and appreciating the wealth and the variety of the gifts and the charisms that the Spirit liberally bestows for the good of the community. Fourth, exploring participatory ways of exercising responsibility. It is so often the case, isn't it, that you have the bishops and the priests, well, almost feels like that's the church. But how is it that we can have participatory ways of exercising responsibility in the church, in the proclamation of the gospel? Examining how responsibility and power are lived in the church, as well as structures by which they are managed. So important. Clericalism can become rampant. And the structures that exists can take clericalism forward. And so we are asking, how do we exercise power in the church? And what are the structures by which, and if some structures need to be examined, they need to be examined. The synod will deal with all of that. Again, accrediting the Christian community as a credible subject and reliable partner in paths of social dialogue. In other words, the community is as important as those who make decisions, right? Regenerating relationships among members of Christian communities as well as between communities and other social groups. Example, communities of believers of other denominations and religions, civil society organizations, popular movements. So how does a church enter into a partnership with other people in the world? So the synod is going to explore all these points as they get together in October 2023. Now, as is typical of Pope Francis, in last week's homily, as he inaugurated this synod, he begins by looking at Jesus. And by the way, this is typical characteristic of Pope Francis. He always goes back to the gospel. It's the gospel and the ministry of Christ and the life of Jesus that leads him. So he begins by talking about Jesus. The story that he reflected on was the story of the rich man who came to Jesus and asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And then Pope Francis comes up with three things in that story. Now, because our gospel reading is different, I'm just taking those three verbs that he talks about without referring to the gospel of the rich man. And the three verbs, as I said, are encounter, listen, and discern. Pope Francis says, first, encounter. The first is encounter. In the Gospels, Jesus is completely present to every person who approached him. He is open to encounter. Nothing leaves Jesus indifferent. Everything is of concern to him. Encountering faces, meeting eyes, sharing each individual's history. That is the closeness that Jesus embodies. He knows that someone's life can be changed by a single encounter. Jesus did not hurry along or keep looking at his watch to get the meeting over with. He was always at the service of the person he was with, listening to what he or she had to say. And so Pope Francis says, as we initiate the synod, we too are called to become experts in the art of encounter. Every encounter, as we know, calls for openness, courage, and a willingness to let ourselves be challenged by the presence and the stories of others. Everything changes once we are capable of genuine encounters with him and with one another, without formalism or pretense, but simply as we are. And so, the synod will invite us to this kind of encounter, and I'll let you know in the end what the practical ways in which we can prepare for the synod. The second point is listen. True encounter arises only from listening. Jesus simply listened to the people he met. For whatever amount of time it takes, he was not rushed. More importantly, he was not afraid to listen with his heart and not just with his ears. This happens when we listen with the heart. People feel that they are being heard, not judged. They feel free to recount their own experiences and their spiritual journey. So Pope Francis says, participating in the synod means placing ourselves on the same path as the Word made flesh, being on the same journey that Jesus is on. It means following in his footsteps, listening to his word along with the words of others. It means discovering with amazement that the Holy Spirit always surprises us to suggest fresh paths and new ways of speaking. It is a slow and perhaps tiring exercise, this listening to one another, bishops and priests, religious and laity, all the baptized. The Spirit asks us to listen to the questions, concerns, and hopes of every church, people, and nation, and to listen to the world, to the challenges and the changes that it sets before us. And finally, discerning. Encounter and listening are not ends in themselves, leaving everything just as it was before. On the contrary, whenever we enter into a dialogue, we allow ourselves to be challenged, to advance on a journey. And in the end, we are no longer the same. We are changed. In the Gospels, those whom Jesus encountered and listened finally were transformed. The synod is a process of spiritual discernment, of ecclesial discernment that unfolds in adoration, in prayer, and in dialogue with the Word of God. The Word of God guides the synod, preventing it from becoming a church convention, a study group, or a political gathering, a parliament, but rather a grace-filled event, a process of healing guided by the Spirit. In these days, Jesus calls us to empty ourselves, to ask ourselves, what is it that God wants to say to us in this time and the direction in which He wants to lead us? So what are the next steps in the synod? Like, what are we going to be doing in the next 2 years? So the preparatory document of the synod has generated questions that will be made available to you in the bulletin. So it's coming very soon. We will also make it possible, or at least create a forum in which you can answer those questions within the parish communities that we belong to. In the parish pastoral council, we will enter into a discussion about these questions, and along with your reflections, send the fruit to the relevant offices that are asking for input from people in the pews. In talking to the archdiocese, I also heard that they are going to organize town hall gatherings of different parish communities to talk about these questions. So in the coming months, especially beginning after Christmas, you will hear a lot about the synod and how you and I can participate and contribute to the success of the synod and to the future of the church. So, as I said, every parish across the world is going to be introduced to this whole idea of the synod. I hope everybody goes home, because the status quo is not good. We need to move forward beyond who we are as church today to be a church for the future. Let us, in this Eucharist, offer our church, our Mother Church, the church that has given us all the sacraments and shown us the way for salvation, that our church indeed may be a church which is a sacrament of unity, of love, and of peace. The people of God said, Amen.